try this one on for size. There was a time when there was one copy of each one of Paul's letters. And each single Greek letter of the greater letter was inspired by God. It was absolutely drop-dead, Holy Spirit, perfect. And it was in Greek. And no one reading it in the Greek could easily misunderstand it. Nobody has ever discovered the original scriptures. We have not one single copy of any of the 66 books of the Bible that is unoriginal. Do you know why? The answer is simple. It might not be immediately evident, but leave it to me. I'll come up for you with the perfect simple answer. And it's this: God does not want those scriptures found. Wouldn't that solve a lot of the theological arguments, though, Martin? Yes, it would. And I'll tell you another thing. If God had not scrambled the languages at the Tower of Babel, then the message of salvation would have gone out to the world in one language, and everyone would understand it, and there would not be this struggle to take the language God dictated these letters in. He dictated them to Paul in Greek, dictated them to Moses in Hebrew. How many of us speak Greek? How many of us speak Hebrew? Exactly. Not many of us. So there becomes the need for that word to be translated. A lot of trouble sneaks in there. So I see two things right away that seem to work against God giving his revelation to humanity. Number one, predating the scriptures that we know and love, he scrambled the languages at the Tower of Babel. That's right. People find this hard to believe, but at one time there was only one language on the face of the earth. Things were simple then. Everybody understood each other. There were far fewer misunderstandings than they are now. People think that we live in a great era. People think that this is the best time to be alive. It's not. This is the hardest time to be alive. I mean, I know there were evil incidents and evil wars and terrible things in every epoch of history, but I'm talking overall confusion, overall death, overall danger, or overall deceit and lies and falsehood disguised as godliness. This is the worst era anyone's ever lived in, and it's compounded by confusion. The word Babylon means confusion. Babel is confusion, and God confused the languages at Babel. I'm going to tell you why he did that. It's my pleasure and my privilege to tell you why God did that. It's coming. Hang on. This is not going to be a long video. The first thing God did, scrambled the language. So that he forced himself then to choose two of hundreds of languages to dictate his word, to put his word into. And those languages were Hebrew and Greek. Here comes another inconvenience. Wait for it. Are you ready for this one? All right. Here it is. God made sure that the original manuscripts were lost. Why? Because if the original manuscripts were found, then it would be easier to see the truth and believe the truth. So what I'm telling you is that God went out of his way to make the truth available, yet necessarily subject to a diligent search. Archaeologists, what do? They dig in the ground and they try to find artifacts. They try to piece together the past to explain the present, but it's hard work. A dinosaur, bones are scattered all over the place. You have to gather one fragment from here, one bone from there, and put them all together. When Robert Ballard discovered the Titanic in the North Atlantic, he had to take soundings. There had to be the invention of a vessel that could go down into the high pressure depths of the ocean to discover it. A lot of dang trouble. This is purposely what God did. He made it a lot of trouble now. Why? Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the honor of kings to search out a matter. And Paul to Timothy. Paul calls for Timothy to be an unashamed workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. God made it necessary that one has to seek to find truth. Why? Another great question. God puts the opportunity before us all to pursue, to love, to want, to passionately seek, to stop at nothing, to discover. It's purposely made not easy so that he can then reward labor. It's the love of the truth, the love of the truth. Look, if the truth is laying in front of you, then you don't need a love of the truth, do you, to understand it? It's right there. You're just reading it. So what I'm telling you is the people who are reading Paul's letters, like the saints in Rome, they needed a love of truth to a certain degree. But in our day, we need it even more. Because how many years removed are we from Paul's letters? 2,000 years removed. Not only that, but a language removed. Paul's writing the originals. They're looking at, the Romans are looking at the original scriptures. We're not. It's harder for us. So what we have to do is we have to find, well, which Bible is the most accurate? And that's another frustration. You go to the Christian bookstore and you see 2 dozen, 3 dozen, 4 dozen books with Holy Bible on the cover. Holy Bible. I lamented to you yesterday how Satan had purposely mistranslated scriptures. And I was mad at Satan because I was speaking and feeling and anguishing in the relative. Today I'm taking the absolute viewpoint and I'm going to tell you that God is ultimately behind this. And I know it's frustrating and many, many, many millions of people give up. The Bible's too hard. There are too many translations. Each translation says something different, and that's true. So many are repulsed that way. Well, I guess they don't love the truth. Ah, there you go. That's the first litmus test. They don't love the truth. So then you find out that, well, the Bible was written in Greek and Hebrew. So then the truth seeker wants to know, well, how do I get the Greek and the Hebrew? Where are the original scriptures? Somebody tells them, I got bad news for you, son. There are no original scriptures. Well, there might be some original scriptures somewhere. I myself personally hope that they're discovered at a garage sale in Schenectady, New York someday. That'd be awesome. Go to a garage sale. There's a parchment for $5. It's the original copy of the letter to the Colossians. That would be awesome. I don't think that's going to happen. That'll probably come up in Newark, New Jersey. That's where it'll show up. Schenectady, New York. Please, let's get real. Nope, that's not going to happen. So the seeker then has to say, well, what's the closest thing we have? Aha, what's the closest thing we have? That's a great question. We do have things that are close. We have manuscripts that date to the 3rd century that might be 2 or 3 removed from the original. These are Codex Vaticanus, Codex Sinaiticus, and Codex Alexandrinus. These are the 3 most ancient manuscripts we have. Well, Okay, but there's still the problem of translation. Right. And if someone is looking at the originals themselves, it doesn't matter if you can't translate your way out of a paper bag. You have to have a system of translating. That's the next labor. And A.E. Nock, who translated the Concordant version, was looking at copies of the three most ancient manuscripts we have, Vaticanus, Sinaiticus, Alexandrinus, and he had a system of translating. Not many people do that, ladies and gentlemen. Most people who translate the scriptures, including the King James boys, they interpret it. They don't translate it. I hate to tell you that. But how do I know they're doing that? With a concordance. A concordance is another tool that was invented. You see all the trouble you have to go to? Well, how do I know this is a good translation? Well, you can check up on the translators. Well, how do I do that? Well, here's an objective record of how they did it. And you can see that they translated this word. I've talked to you about this before. They've translated this word in the Greek three different ways. Or they've taken three different Greek words and translated it with one English word, and they've totally botched it. And you throw up your hands, most people. You've already, by this time, you've probably eliminated 99% of the population. They're ticked off, first of all, because there are so many languages in the world. That messes them up. Then they find out the original scriptures aren't here. What's the use? So, bang, you've lost about 100 million more. Then they find out that what? Bible wasn't written in English? Oh, my gosh. Then you realize you have to rely on a translation. Then you go to the bookstore and you see 30, a dozen, five dozen different translations, and then you've lost 100 million more people. And by the time you're done, you got like a dozen hardcore people who want to know the truth badly. And among those people, one guy... There have been several over the years. Tyndale translated the script. James Young translated Young's version of the scriptures. And A.E. Nock translated the Concordant Literal New Testament. These men labored to take the original languages and present it in the language we know and love, which is English. Yes, they worked hard to do that. But even among those superstars, there's superstars among the superstars. So it gets narrower and narrower and narrower, doesn't it? And you're really ready to throw up your hands and say, why in the world did God make it so hard? Because he wanted it to be seen who wants the truth badly enough. Who wants it? Who wants it badly? Not many people do want it badly, and it takes a scholar. Well, Martin, I don't have the scholarship to do it. I don't either, but I have tools, and I can research it, and I can look into. And God makes it available, but you have to want it and you have to search for it. And again, the key verse here is Proverbs 25:2. The glory of God to conceal a matter. Honor of kings is to search it out. If a matter is not concealed, then the king has no honor. The person who would be kingly has no honor because he has no opportunity to seek out the truth. You got to want it bad. People who train for the Olympic marathon and they want to win it. You know how many hundreds of thousands of people run marathons, but they slog through it. They might run it in 4, 5, 6, 7 hours. Elite athletes run it in 2 hours and 4 minutes, 2 hours and 3 minutes. These people train, it's their whole entire life they train. I remember a great quote from Pavarotti. Somebody told him, wow, I'd give my life to have a voice like that. And Pavarotti answered, I did give my life for it. Isn't that great? Meaning, the other people didn't want it badly enough. He dedicated his life to it. Same with the marathon runners. They dedicate their lives to being the best. And only one guy holds the world record for the marathon. I don't know who it is this date. It doesn't matter. But the point being that it takes an elite person. So how does the common person get this? The common person benefits from the work of the scholar, from the work, and the common person, him or herself, has to love the truth just as much, or nearly as much. I really can't say that. Nearly as much as the person who spent their life translating it, spent their life studying the three ancient manuscripts, spent their lives coming up with a consistent translating principle where God's words are honored. That's very, very rare. And the people who have almost as much desire as that, but not quite, they benefit from that person's work. That's why there are teachers in the world, because teachers teach students. The students want to learn, and God points the students in the direction of the teacher, and he points the teacher in the direction of these hardcores who translated the scripture with an actual system and gave their lives, like the world record holder in the marathon and like Pavarotti, to understand what God said. And it takes a great desire, and God has thinned the ranks. And again, I tell you this, he's doing it on purpose, because it's the honor of kings to search it out. How badly do you want to know the truth? You've heard me speak of drive-through revelation. A drive-through revelation is a revelation you get from not working hard. It's a revelation you get from just looking at the surface, from taking information from the popular view. This is why Jesus convicted the Pharisees of teaching as truth the traditions of men instead of the truth of God. The traditions, because they're easy. They're handed down by word of mouth, and people came to believe these things. Why? Because so-and-so said. It's easy to believe something somebody said. In politics, you call it talking points. You just have a talking point. You don't really know what you're talking about. You just repeat what you heard. And that's what's happening in Christianity today. They're just repeating what they heard. They want their hearing tickled, and they don't want to work. And I understand many students don't want to work, but at least they love the truth enough to seek out people who have worked. Not people who have degrees, not people who went to a seminary, but people who have worked. Because again, the seminary, the systems of humans, it's a drive-through window. Anybody can get it. That's the thing. I'll close with this. This is a hell of a point. Anybody can go to a seminary and get a degree. Anybody. It's no big deal. You just apply yourself, take a few classes, study enough to pass the test, and bang, you got a degree. And you got a diploma on your wall. But you might very well know nothing. And in the fact of seminary-trained teachers, they know nothing. As Paul says, forever learning, never coming to a realization of the truth. That's the sad state of affairs. But you and I, we're hardcores. Not because we're smarter than anybody else, but because our desire to know God is stronger than most people's desire. And we will seek out those who have an even stronger desire than us, and who did phenomenal hard work to bring us the scriptures correctly translated. And that, my friends, is the honor of kings.